says, I'm going to kind of sit down and talk and tell the story because it's Christmas Eve. And what we like to do is just talk through the Christmas story. We're actually a church that goes verse by verse through books of the Bible. That's our typical teaching style. Every message stands alone. Every message is a practical, topical message. But it's going verse by verse through books of the Bible. And we just started Luke. And I did kind of plan this out so that we could do this three-week series in the first couple chapters of Luke, which tell the Christmas story right here at this time of the year. So this little sub-series in the book of Luke is called Arrival, the arrival of our Messiah, Jesus Christ. And I want to just talk a little bit about the story. It's so important that we remember this, so important that our kids know what we're really doing at Christmas. Because we live in a country that, it can just get lost. The real message of Christmas can get lost quickly. And it can get lost in all of our hearts, even those of us who believe in Jesus Christ. It can get lost. And every year, we just want to make sure we refocus our hearts, that we remember, it's a cliche, but Jesus is the reason for the season. It's a cliche, but we need to even teach our children that if there were no Christmas trees, if we weren't doing presents, if there were no special lights to go see, we still have the main reason to celebrate Christmas. Because it's all about Jesus Christ. There are places in the world where they don't have any of those things, but they gather together. Kids, have any of you watched the Charlie Brown Christmas show? Have you watched that this year? It's like every year we try to watch the Charlie Brown Christmas. I tell you, that Linus is a preacher. Linus has the gift of evangelism. Because finally someone says, what's it all about? Charlie Brown says, what's it all about? And Linus tells him what it's all about. And he quotes scripture. So that's what we're doing. We're kind of following Linus's lead, and we're going to talk about what is this all about. So we're going to read some of the Bible story and talk about it. Ready? Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 5 says this. At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for this census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, his fiancée, who was now obviously pregnant. So let's talk about this. Isn't this just like the government? See, the kids need to know what's really happening here through this story. Here's what's happening. The reason they're traveling, it's a government decree. And the reason they're traveling is the government wants to know how many people there are for taxation purposes, which sounds just like America. The government decides, we got to know how many people there are. We got to get everybody registered so that we can tax everybody properly and make sure we get enough money coming into the government. And the only way they could do it then was they all had to travel back to their place of their birth. I do this every year. This is always fun to do. If we got that decree that you have to travel back to your place of birth, how many of you would still be here in Florida? All right, we got some native Floridians. Florida would lose about a third or two-thirds of its population. The roads would be crazy. So that's what's happening. The government has decreed they have to travel back. Now, watch what was happening. The messianic prophecies. Messianic prophecies means there were prophecies about Jesus being born way before he was born. And they're given prophecies of this Messiah. And the prophecy said the baby would be born in Bethlehem. Well, how's that going to happen? Because Joseph and Mary are in Nazareth. Now, in those days, they didn't travel like we do. Some of you are visiting right now from other parts of the country. Some of you are about to get on the road tomorrow, whatever. But we travel. They didn't travel. And so they had no plans to go back to Bethlehem. But the prophecy said the baby's going to go back to, has to be born in Bethlehem. So here's what God does. Aren't you glad that God can use government officials, even if they do not believe in him? God can use government officials. He is going to succeed in his purposes. And so he uses a government official to make this decree so that they will now travel to Bethlehem. Now, ladies, did you notice it said Mary is not just pregnant, obviously pregnant. Ladies, any of you ever been obviously pregnant? So here they're going to take this long journey, and it's not by planes, trains, and automobiles. This is just donkey. Long, hard journey on a donkey, obviously pregnant. That's what's happening. So here they go. They're traveling. All right. Next part of our story, Luke chapter 2, 6 and 7. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her first child, a son, and she wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. You ever notice that in these, the nativity scenes, are there animals in your nativity scenes? What do you have, like sheep? Some sheep, maybe a donkey or something. What do you have? Yeah, you have animals in yours, right? Yeah. There are animals in the nativity scene. Because it tells us that there was no place for them to stay, so they found a stable. Now, it might have been, we actually have kind of a wood carving, great artwork there that the guy has done, the clay's done with styrofoam, looks like wood. It could have been wood, but it could have been a cave, could have been stone. We don't really know for sure, but we know there were animals there. It was a stable, and we know there were animals. It says they laid him in a manger. That was kind of like a trough, a feeding trough that they laid this baby in. So there probably were some animals around. It would have been chaos. Can you imagine, I mean, what it would be like if we're all traveling back to our hometown? Same thing here. Bethlehem would have been chaos. Total chaos. People everywhere. People finding all the available lodging. There was nowhere for them to stay. So here they are in a stable. Jesus, the baby, is born. They wrap the baby in strips of cloth. They lay him in a manger. And I can't imagine. I was going to say I can imagine. I can't imagine what was going through their minds as all this was happening, the Messiah being born. Okay, go on. Luke chapter 2, 8 through 12. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified. But the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." Shepherds. And at that time, shepherds were dirty. They worked outside. They were smelly. They weren't very high class. There are some people that say that their word wasn't even counted in a court because they were kind of shifty characters. You couldn't trust their word. So here are these shepherds out there, kind of the lowest of the low. And God decides that the first people he's going to tell are shepherds. Now, we probably would have gone to the highest of the high. We probably would have gone to, let's find the network executives. Let's find the politicians. Let's find the best way. Let's get the important people so we can get the word out. God is telling us here, there are no classes. The highest of the high, the lowest of the low, everyone is the same in God's eyes, and he's going to reach out to these shepherds. Now, that tells me this. In our eyes, and this is something to teach our children, there are no classes in God's eyes. This whole class system, this whole the rich and the poor, this whole social status thing, that does not exist in Christian worlds. It shouldn't. We used to sing a song. They tell us it's not politically correct to sing it anymore. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Basically saying, skin color does not matter. There are no classes when it comes to skin color. There are no classes when it comes to male and female. We are one. The Bible clearly tells us. We are one as Christians. We are one in the body of Christ. And so here he comes to the lowest of the low, the shepherds. And they're told, this, to go look for a sign. Okay. Jesus Christ, the Messiah, is being born. What kind of sign would you do? I mean, I'm thinking, major billboard. I'm thinking light it up billboard. I'm thinking flashing. I'm thinking something happening. Big sign, something that would speak the Messiah. So the shepherds had to be shocked. I mean, it's common knowledge to us now, but the shepherds had to be shocked when they were told the sign. Here's your sign. There'll be a baby wrapped in clothes in a manger, in a food trough. That's going to be your sign. And here's one of the points I want to make. This is one, I want you to remember this. Did you know, kids, the shepherds, they had a choice at that point? I mean, here comes this angel, and they were scared to death of the angel. It wasn't like that little baby willow tree angel thing. It was probably a big, scary angel. So angel, because they're afraid. He says, fear not. He says, now the Messiah is born. Go find him. They had a choice. They could have said, I hear you. Don't want to go. Not interested. I do not want to go see the Messiah. Maybe they were afraid. Maybe they just wanted to reject. They could have said no. They decided, they chose, because they weren't just reading a script, they chose to go to find the baby in a manger. Now, let's go on. Here's the rest of the story here. Luke 2, 13 and 14. Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, glory to God in highest heaven and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. All right, now those of you that like a three-point sermon, here we go. Here's my three-point sermon. I don't typically follow that kind of structure, but here's my three-point sermon. Glory to God. This should be, Christians, this is how we live our lives. Glory to God. Everything I do, everything I say, who I am, what I think, what I feel, Holy Spirit, help me, because I want to live my life so that it is glory to God. If you want to be a teacher, you'd be a teacher glorifying God. You want to be a musician, you're a musician glorifying God. You want to be a banker, you're a banker glorifying God. But glory to God should be number one point in my life. Peace on earth. We are supposed to be the most peaceful people on the face of the earth, even in the midst of total chaos. People ought to come to Christians and say, what is your problem? Why are you so peaceful? Don't you know what's going on? They would say, and you'd say, yes, I'm well aware what's going on. And I'm involved with what's going on. But my hope doesn't rest in this world. My hope rests in God. We should be the most peace, and we should be spreading peace. People ought to want to be around you. Because, wow, when I'm around you, I just feel peaceful. I want to live my life glory to God, point one. I want to live my life being peace on earth. And I want to live my life goodwill toward men. Goodwill toward men. That means my will is that good would happen to you. And it's not just for your friends. I mean, my will is that good happens to my family and my friends and people I like. But my will should be that good happens to people I don't like. Good, my will is that good happens to people that hate me and people that if I were honest, I'd probably have hate in my heart to them and I shouldn't. My will is good for everyone. So as a Christian, because of what's happening here, this baby coming, I want to give glory to God, I want to spread peace on earth, and I want good will to all men. And the last part, here it is, the last part of the scripture. They're kind of amazed because they see that I'm reading the scripture right on the TV there. See, they're looking at the TV going, wow, he's got words. That's how he can, you thought I had the scripture memorized. I'm reading it right there. When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, let's go to Bethlehem. I love that exclamation point. They were excited. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph. And there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. But Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. So the shepherds come, they find the baby, they see it's all true, it's the Messiah, they're praising God, everyone is hearing about it, and they go around town telling everybody. Wouldn't you? I mean, here's the last part of what I would encourage you today. I mean, you get to make a choice. And if you're not used to this, I'm actually going to bring you to a choice of accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior today. This baby in the manger is Jesus Christ. This baby in the manger did live a sinless life and died on the cross for your sin and rose from the dead. It's the same Jesus. And I'm going to bring you to a place where you have a choice to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior or not. Those of you who have, we want to live glory to God, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And one way to do that is to tell everybody, like the shepherds did. They didn't keep it to themselves. This whole private Christianity thing doesn't really exist biblically. I'm not saying be weird. Weird Christians don't bring anybody to Jesus Christ. They make people stay away. But just be you. You are you, and people like to hang around you. So you are you. You just let it be known, I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. Now that might freak some people out. Some people might feel uncomfortable around you. Imagine if you were me, first time I meet people, they say, what do you do for a living? And I'd say, okay, here we go. This is going to be good. I'll say, I'm a pastor. And then the faces just change. Oh, well, did I say anything wrong? You know, they go through all that kind of stuff. You just let it be known. You're a Christian. Kids at your age, if you're a Christian, you've accepted Jesus Christ, you should just tell your friends about Jesus. Middle school, high school. Don't be ashamed of Jesus Christ. Again, you don't have to be weird. Just don't be ashamed. Tell people, I believe in Jesus Christ. You live in the greatest country in the world to be able to say out loud, publicly, I believe in Jesus Christ. He is my Lord and Savior. And so we do what the shepherds did. We just tell everybody, and then we go back to our school, or we go back to our work. They went back to their flocks. They go back and just keep doing what they're doing. But now they are changed. Changed because they decided to go and meet this baby. So I'm going to bring you to this point of prayer. As I said, this is Jesus Christ. This is the one who died on the cross for your sins. And the Bible says if you just say, you really mean it in your heart, I really believe in God. I really believe in Jesus. I believe what the Bible says. It doesn't say you understand it all because our brains can't understand it all. We can't. There's no way. Theologians still don't get it all. But I say in faith, I choose to believe. I accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. I'm going to give you that opportunity today. So everybody just kind of bow your head and close your eyes, and we're going to pray. We're going to take communion in a minute. But I just want to give you this chance right now to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior on this wonderful Christmas Eve. The best present you will ever give yourself. If you're not sure that you have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And you're going to believe these things by faith. And when you pray this prayer and you accept Jesus Christ, tell someone you prayed the prayer. Tell your parents, tell your friends, tell someone. Say, look, I received Jesus Christ. I want to tell you about it. So if that's you right now, pray this prayer, mean it in your heart. You will be saved. Just pray, God, I believe in you. I believe you are real. I believe you love me. I believe in Jesus, that he is God the Son, that he was born of a virgin, he lived a sinless life, he died on the cross for my sin, and he rose from the dead. I don't understand it all, but in faith today, I choose to believe. I accept you, Jesus, as my Savior and my Lord. God, forgive me for the things I've done wrong. I'm sorry. Holy Spirit, live in me. Lead me and guide me all the days of my life. I thank you, God, for my salvation.